In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. An unidentified person in the crowd asked Jesus, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" This is a question many people ponder then and now. Lord, how many will be saved? Will I be? Will my neighbor? Will it be few? Or is there a universal salvation for all? How exclusive are you, God? How inclusive? And Jesus said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you came from.'" The crowd Jesus spoke to were Israelites, and it was a given in their mind that they had a guaranteed admittance into the kingdom. They were descendants of Abraham, after all. Their expectation was that God would restore a political and territorial kingdom of Israel. A restored Israel and the kingdom of God were the same thing. The Jews were the in crowd. It was the Gentiles who were on the outs. I guess that many today believe they are in simply because their name is on a church register and they religiously attend services twice a year. I think a rector once asked a congregant who only came twice a year why they didn't come more often. That person said, "Well, I'm a Christian, but not a fanatic." So, well, we're Americans. We are free to know about God. Today, many people have heard about Jesus. They've gone to church, even supped at the Lord's table, but never understood or met their Savior Jesus. Oh, they start to complain that all churches are nothing but social clubs, constantly asking you for money. They become the Dones, D-O-N-E-S, because they are done with church. This is something Father Nathaniel spoke to in his presentation the other week. Others may identify themselves as spiritual in the sense of believing in ghosts or bad karma. They don't want to be known as Christians. Those people are known as nuns, N-O-N-E-S, because when asked a question on a questionnaire, which denomination are you affiliated with, they would circle the answer, "None of the above." However, throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus pointed to himself as the focus of the kingdom of God. Jesus turns the question from the abstract to the personal and addresses himself to all the crowd. He says, "The question is not how many will be saved, but whether or not you will be saved. Get that settled first, and then we can discuss what you can do to help others get saved." So, the first priority is for each of us. Each of us needs to humbly ask Jesus Christ into our heart by faith. Repent of our sins, confess him as our Lord and Savior, and seek to live a new life in him and through him. The old self will die, and we will be born anew in Christ. Jesus pictured the kingdom of heaven as a house with a door, and he warned them, "Many shall desire to enter in, but not be able. The door is narrow, and will only admit one at a time, not many at once." Jesus, in effect, says, in order for you to get into the kingdom of God, you have to come through me. I am a narrow, specific, exclusive way, and many people will refuse me. Therefore, many will not attain the kingdom. Of course, to exclude somebody from any group today is to be called out as a hater. However, the Bible teaches that our Lord Jesus is the only means of eternal salvation, the only way of entering into the kingdom of God. Entrance is not based on race, ethnicity, wealth, intellectual prowess, or any other kind of status. He is not a way, he is the way, the one and only. The narrow door is exactly the size and shape of only one person, Jesus Christ. This was, it is, an exclusive claim. It was highly offensive to the Jewish crowd. It is the truth that continues to offend many even today. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." And again in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus gives us many images of his exclusivity. But some are blind, like the duns, and others refuse the narrow door, maybe like the nuns. When it comes to doors, don't we all enjoy choosing? The television game show Let's Make a Deal offered you a choice between door number one, door number two, or door number three, that Alpine ski vacation, or that new Ferrari. And after all, don't all doors eventually lead to God? No. Jesus admonished the people to strive to enter the narrow door. Well, on the face of it, the word strive suggests that Jesus was saying that one must work for one's salvation. The Greek word used in Luke is avonizome, from which we get the English word agony and agonize. It means to labor fervently, to contend, to struggle, to wrestle with difficulties and dangers. It's a word used to describe an athlete's agony in winning a prize race. To strive means it takes concerted effort to enter the door. But look at what Jesus said in John 6, verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." It is more than our own effort. It is really by the grace of God. I thought of an airliner coming in for a landing. Are the airline pilots going to head towards the airport casually and on the assumption that one runway is as good as another? No. They're going to strive to set the plane down safely on the correct runway. The pilots are focused like a laser beam on aligning the plane correctly with the center line of the runway. And don't pilots need to contend with wind, rain, and all sorts of weather arrayed against their aircraft? Yes, but are they striving on their own? No, they have the help of air traffic controllers, radar, sensors, and all kinds of navigational aids, all provided for them, which they use to strive to make a safe landing. Likewise, no person by mere human striving can achieve entrance to the kingdom of God. Look at the Pharisees who strive to study the scriptures, obey the law perfectly in order to achieve eternal life. They totally missed that salvation was personally speaking to them in Jesus Christ. It's not about being a good person. To strive to enter through the narrow door requires a turning away from self and all thoughts that we can achieve heaven on our own. It means surrendering surrendering to the Son of God as our personal Savior. It means quieting our own voice, being still and listening to God, and acting in obedience. That takes discipline and intentionality. We can only strive with success through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the teacher, guide, and comforter sent to live in us, sent by the Son from the Father. Day by day, the Holy Spirit transforms us more and more into the likeness of Christ. Trying to imitate Christ on our own without the Holy Spirit working in us will lead to burnout or worse. No amount of self-effort to be like Christ will suffice. We need the life of Jesus Christ, a fire in us. To do that, we need to die to ourselves. Then it is the Holy Spirit who gives us new life in Jesus. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. John 3, verse 3. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work of making us born again. And it is he who helps us grow day by day in our personal relationship with Jesus. As well, the Holy Spirit enables us to strive against the dark forces of this world that oppose the kingdom of God, and to stand firm in faith so that we need not succumb to fear. Yes, we strive against the old sin nature in each of us that sometimes refuses to die, and we are dependent on God's grace to give us victory in that struggle. Hear what Paul says, though, in Ephesians 6, verse 10. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. In this struggle, in this agony, satanic forces deliberately deflect and frustrate many seekers from finding the narrow door. And likewise, they want to turn away those who have inclined their lives towards Jesus Christ. This is not fairy tale stuff. Recent news stories have highlighted two high-profile Christians who very publicly renounced their Christian faith. Satan wins some skirmishes, but the victory belongs to Christ, and believers need to strive in the power of the Holy Spirit to stand firm and give no ground to the enemy. The door is open only for an unspecified duration of time, and then it will be shut. Notice it is not a servant, but rather the master of the house himself who rises and shuts the door. There is a terrible and awful finality to that act. Remember in Genesis chapter 7, when the waters of the flood began and Noah and his family entered the ark, it was the Lord himself who shut the door of the ark. And so all Christians should feel a sense of urgency about reaching the lost and the unchurched for Christ. The time is drawing closer for the Master to rise and act. Can we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide all saints, our church plant, the table, that we may reconcile to God many in our city who have not recognized the urgent need to enter through the narrow door and receive the grace of God available in Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of the world, lest they be among those that God the Father ultimately does not recognize as his own and who are left in the outer darkness. To strive is our dedicated response to God's gracious initiative towards us. We can strive to enter through the narrow door because of the Holy Spirit's leading and presence and Christ living in us. We know Christ personally. The Son of God recognizes us as children of God, and others will recognize Him in us and then be drawn to the door and will be admitted with joy into the household of God. God is ready to include many in His kingdom. He is very inclusive. God desires you and me, along with all the nuns and the duns, to accept His offer of salvation. This isn't let's make a deal. Time is growing short. Today will end, and tomorrow will come. Amen.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God.